Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on the nature of consciousness and life continuum as revealed through near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences. Some of the topics include what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature a stellar roster of special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. For more information about our organization and our radio program, Toward the Light, please do visit our websites, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. Well, this week, after many attempts, we were having trouble making contact. We're ringing overseas to Australia. Our special guest this week is Jen Irishu, and she is the author of the beautiful book, Messages of Love, My Spiritual Awakening, and another book called The Angel in My Dream. So we're going to talk about these books, and let us welcome to Toward the Light, Jen Irishu. Welcome to Toward the Light, Jen. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Juliet. At long last, we finally connected.
Yes, it's so wonderful to have you, and just having so many technical problems, but I guess it's par for the course at times, so we'll just go a bit over and we'll be able to get our full hour in. And thank you so much for getting up early. Goodness me, you may not have even had your cookie yet, but we'll send lots of energy your way, and really looking forward to finding out about your tremendous journeys. And I guess what we should do to start is, I know one thing that you and I have both got in common is from the very beginning in our lives, we were both interested in mysticism and searching for the meaning of life, why we are here. That is the universal question. So tell us a bit how you got started on this journey. I know it started in childhood, but then you had what I would call a spiritually transformative experience and things that really changed your whole life around. So tell our listeners a bit about what brought all of this about for you.
Well, I guess, you know, as you said, it started in childhood. You know, I was always... How can I explain this? I always felt I never belonged on Earth. Something in me from a little girl just felt I was in the wrong place. And I realized later on in life, probably I was nearing 40, when the person I wrote about in Messages of Love, he was the love of my life, and I started having prophetic dreams. Although I had had them on and off from a little girl, they seemed to have slowed down a little bit as I had children and had earthly things to do. And when I dreamt of his oncoming death, I started to psychically open. Everything escalated very, very quickly. That was about 10 weeks before he actually passed over. And I realized it was to prepare me for what was to happen after his death. And when he appeared to me 5 minutes after his passing, I was there to help him. He was there to help me. My whole life changed. It totally changed in one night. You know, I started to write the book because I thought to myself, if this is happening to me, if I'm experiencing this life with a ghost, so to speak, and, you know, it was like he wasn't dead. We were living a life like we were when he was alive. If I'm experiencing this, other people must be experiencing the same thing. And I wanted to share our story, the 4 years we had together after his death, for other people who were experiencing the same thing, to say, oh my gosh, you know, that happened, that's happened to me, I know what she's saying.
Yes, it's so interesting, all of this that you're talking about, because I too, from the very moment I can remember, having me first thoughts. I was saying, I don't belong here. This isn't real. This isn't me. I want to go home. And I've always felt a stranger on this planet for my entire life and sojourn here. So, you know, that the first thing you say, I said, oh, blimey, you know, that the same has been absolutely true for me. And then, you know, as you're describing this stuff, I thought, well, you know, this is so natural. This is so common. And it really, really is. And what's interesting is that it's very important that people realize that this is common, that it's not really so unique, even though because of the egoic or mortal mind, we've been, you know, we've had this imposed amnesia, as it were, so that we forget who we are and we forget what is real. Then these experiences start to bring back about the truth that we are indeed multidimensional beings. The telepathy that happens not only with other people who are on the earth plane, but with people who have transitioned to the other side, to other dimensions, is very, very real and very, very common. And I'm so pleased, not only pleased, but I'm very excited about this, because I guess I'm a really strong advocate for all of this stuff, and I'm on a campaign to help people understand the truth and the validity of telepathy and the fact, of course, that life is eternal. And hence we talk about life continuum as revealed to such experiences like what you have had. And I would venture to say that indeed, well, this happened with my late husband as well. So many people that I've known who transition, we just carry on our conversations as if they were still physically sitting in the same room with me. Nothing's interrupted.
That the comments that I had actually after Bruce died, from people saying, what you're doing is wrong, you're keeping him here, you're not letting him go, blah, 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 you know, the same old, same old. And I kept saying to them, but it's not me. You know, I can't help it that he's no matter what I do, where I go, he's there beside me. It was a choice made between the two of us that we be together for that amount of time in order for him to give me, share the secrets of his universe so I can write about it in order to reawaken somebody else to the truth. And, you know, it was very frustrating. It was a very frustrating period of time for me because I felt that I was in his world and I was trying to keep my own feet in my world, and my heart, my soul wanted to be in his world because that's the world that I knew, that's the world that I longed for. And, you know, I was going through thoughts of how could I get to his world, and so thoughts of suicide were going through my mind. Not that I don't think I would have done it. I'm not sure spirit stopped me on a couple of occasions when I thought this is my only way that I can join him in the world I know. And I realize now, all these years down the track, well, it's not that many years, I realize that, you know, I'm not to be in his world, in the world that I know and love. I'm to have my two feet firmly planted on the ground, although it doesn't happen all the time with broken ankles, but, you know, into this earth in order to assist another to remember who they are.
Yes.
Their true spirit. As you were saying before, I feel that we are at a time now in evolution where we are awakening to the knowledge that has been embedded somewhere deep within us, and I think now it's almost, you know, it's clawing its way out in order for all of us to come together and go and say to each other, do you remember who you are? Yes, you do. And it's opening up a Pandora's closet, really, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And it's so interesting that you're talking about this because you know, getting back to people making these derogatory comments that you're holding him back or keeping him in this world, that actually that is not the case. And as one who's been on the other side multiple times as a result of my multiple near-death states, what happens is that, you know, from the other dimensions and not being confined in a physical body or to the physical dimension or the third dimension, as it were, we could be at any place and communicating with anyone at any given moment. And it doesn't mean that we're stuck somewhere, because it's very, very different on the other planes than it is on the physical plane. And of course, this, all of this kind of stuff is really ineffable to describe. It just can't describe. For example, when I try to say everything is in the now, past, present, and future, I'm sure people just cannot get their arms around that. What the heck is that, you know?
Mm.
But from the other side, it is very natural. It's real. Likewise, as I said, we are multidimensional beings, so your beloved had no problem and has got no problem communicating with you at any given moment and not being held down or impositioned or what have you. He's totally got all the freedom that he needs to traverse any way he wants to. And also the fact that the awakening, like the amnesia, is starting to fall away, and as our frequency, our vibrational frequency, is elevated, it is going to become more and more natural and easy for people to communicate telepathically, and that's exactly what it is. It's telepathic communion with one another, regardless of the different dimensions that you may be communicating with someone on. So your friend is with you. And I also get really strongly as a clairvoyant, and I think you already know this, is that it was a part of your soul's contract agreement before both of you incarnated into the physical plane to do this, to go to this, to experience this. And indeed to help validate the fact that life is eternal and that communication can never be broken. So
absolutely. And do you know, with the angel in my dreams and soon to come out the follow-up book, The Adventures of Angela and Eli, they were two books I actually dreamt about as well. I dream about everything. So my new magazine, my e-magazine that I've got together now, and it's gone absolutely berserk. In the 2 months, we've got a distribution rate going up to probably 300,000 now worldwide with that. And that is a bringing together of people to share what we're sharing right at this moment. And I think it's important to do that. But with the angel in my dreams, on the first page, although because I don't have any issues with death, because I have been fortunate enough, like you, to have had a bit of a glimpse of it through a near-death experience, and I had no fear of it, but because on the first page, Angela is lying in bed, she has leukemia, and she looks out at the stars and the galaxies and wonders what it's like to die. I actually put that word die on the page, or because I don't think of dying as dying. To me, that's just an extension of life. And it is so interesting, the reaction to the first page of this children's book. And people pick it up, they look at that word, oh, this book is about dying, or close the book and put it back. And I just think to myself, oh my goodness, you know, isn't this amazing? How many people are still so afraid of death?
Yes, yes.
The concept of whatever their concept is of death. And it takes me to another, you know, I sit quietly and in reflection and I ask myself, what is it about death that people are still afraid of? And being brought up as a very strict Catholic, in my day, going to school, learning catechism and the Bible, and, you know, there was heaven and hell, and if you did something, you know, naughty, that you went to hell and you're burnt in hell forever. And when I sat back in reflection, I wondered if people were still trapped in the fear of death through fear of what was going to happen to them after they died, they have died, through religious teachings.
I think that's huge, and you really hit the nail on the head with that one, because there's so much, you know, people being really, really locked in fear and locked in a dogma, that they have been brainwashed, and I'm just going to be very blunt about it. They have been brainwashed since a very young age to believe these things, and it is all about a mind prison that does keep and deliberately keeps people locked in fear. And I've had people even counter me saying, you know, when I would talk about the fact that I'm an NDE, and they say, oh, no, when you die, that's it, or this is of the devil, and all of that nonsense. And they can't hear. They don't even have their own thoughts. They just have these programmed reactions and responses to things. And so this is the work that people like yourself and I have got through our own experiences to prove and to validate that life is eternal and that unconditional love is what awaits us on the other side. Speaking of which, if you don't mind, will you tell our listeners a bit about your near-death experience and what led up to it?
What had happened, I actually had cancer of the uterus.
Okay.
And I was in and out of hospital many, many times. And this particular, I remember going in to have an operation, and while I was in the operation, I remember looking down at the doctors as they were working on my body, and I remember going to a place of total, the colours, I just remember, you know, I've never seen paints like it, the colours, it was as if God had painted this most divine artwork on this huge canvas of colours that are not available. They're not here. You can't see them on Earth. And I remember sitting on a garden seat, a wrought iron garden seat, and I just sat there for a while on this garden seat, and I was shown my two children at the time. They weren't very old, probably 6 and 7, crying, holding a red rose each, crying over my coffin. And it took me a long time to fall pregnant with my children. It took 8 years to fall pregnant with my first baby. And I thought, oh, I can't do this. It took me so long to have these beautiful gifts from God that I tried so hard and went through so many procedures to have these children. I can't do this to them. And I remember then waking up in the recovery, and I heard the nurses saying, oh, quick, quick, she's coming back, wrap her up. And there was a lot of fussing and carrying on around me. And I thought to myself, as I woke up, and I was thinking, oh, what's happened? I felt very heavy, disorientated, and I thought, I have to forget this. Forget it. Forget what happened, because it was so beautiful. Forget what happened. You're not to remember. And also, further down the track, as Bruce was dying, who I wrote about in Messages of Love, although he was 20 kilometres away from me, I was dying at the same time. And as he took his last breath, I took my last breath. And I remember I left my body. I remember talking to somebody, but I can't remember who it was. And the person I was talking to said, you cannot come with him. You must go back. And
what
I said, no,
this,
I can't go back. I need to stay with him. He's just gone. And I have to stay with him. I can't live without him. And the person, it was a male voice, said, no, you must go back. And then I remember waking up, and that's just before he walked in my door. and I thought, oh gosh, something's just happened, and I don't want something's happened. I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. And then he walked in the door as a spirit, and then, well, you know, the rest is sort of history.
Now, what year did this happen?
Pardon?
What year did this happen?
With him?
Yes.
With him it happened in 1996, November 1996, the night he flew. And going back further, it was in 18, oh my goodness, that's a funny thing to say. yeah, oh gosh, 1986, the first time.
Very interesting.
Yes, it was a strange experience, but it was a beautiful experience. But getting back to The Angel in My Dreams, with that book, those children's books, and the connection between that and what happened in Messages of Love, and what Bruce and my guides and Jesus and everybody that comes to me still taught me in Messages of Love, I was able to transport that into a children's story. So I actually, what I wrote in The Angel in My Dreams, and in the follow-up book where the children now have passed over and they're now in heaven and they're going through the different coloured doors in heaven as the two main characters, Andrew and Eli, are being taught how to become guardian angels for two newborn babies. I just transferred over the knowledge that I had through Messages of Love into those books. And so looking back, I see that in Messages of Love, they were teaching me, you know, what life is like for them in heaven, so I can show parents and families of those who are mourning and grieving for their children who have passed over, to show them that their life on the other side is not what they perceive it to be. So it was, you know, the extension of the whole contract between Bruce and I, the original contract, has just been for me the most amazing, amazing experience, because I would never have dreamt, and I put that in inverted commas, that I could then relate to children in a way that it assists them on their journey. And Juliet, we know children already know this.
Yes, I was just thinking the same thing. They know it, and this is a wonderful confirmation for them. And I also think that it's a wonderful way to convey this material to grown-ups as well, because sometimes they need something delivered to them in a very creative, simple way. You know, for example, I think of a beautiful book called The Little Prince, for example, which is a classic. It's an absolute classic. And then another one called Hope for the Flowers, which is about two caterpillars and how they, the process of evolving into butterfly, which is another beautiful, beautiful metaphor, because caterpillar can't fathom what butterfly is, and yet caterpillar evolves into butterfly. And I really think that that is happening with all of us now, with the quickening, the awakening that's going on. And then also, as people start to overcome fear and rise into a higher frequency of love, then they realize that there is no hell except for the fear that engulfs people. And because whilst I was on the other side, you know, I saw a space where people were struggling and suffering, and yet at the same time I was reassured that it was very temporary, that they too would ultimately return to the light. So the hell is actually a result of one's frame of mind when one transitions, and then they clearly move out of that. And of course, having had a number of near-death experiences, it's just always been the experience of being enveloped in unconditional love. And I'm very sorry it's a cliche anymore, but it is absolutely the case. And it would appear that that was the case with you too, that you experience the unconditional love. And the beautiful magnificence of being in that space that is very different from being on the physical plane. I too experience the physical plane as being very dull and drab compared to what I experienced on the other side. So I would venture to, with your experiences, you can speak from authority, I would say.
It definitely so. Would you mind if I shared a journey that
Please.
I was taken on?
Please.
I remember I was waiting for my daughter to come home. It was 2 a.m. in the morning, and she was at that age, 17, 18, you know, when they go out with their friends. And I was thinking, oh, where is she? Why isn't she home? And she walked in the door, and I thought, oh, thank goodness, she's home now. I can rest. I turned over onto my right side, and my third eye, I've never experienced this before, I felt my third eye opening like a door, like a kaleidoscope. It was amazing. And I felt my spirit leave the body through my third eye. I was taken on a journey that I will never forget to the day I die. Never forget. Bruce used to use music to give me his messages. And about 4 hours, 5 hours before I flew, use that word, he gave me Phil Collins' song, Something in the Air Tonight. And I kept thinking, oh, why is he giving me this song? There's something in the air, something going on. Anyway, the journey, I was taken up into the universe. I remember it as clearly. I then was taken, I remember looking to the left and I saw the sun. I looked to the right and I saw the moon. And it was going through my mind, oh, that's interesting. It's sunny one side and it's dark the other side. I was very clearly thinking nothing was, it was just as if it was real, and it was real. I was then, before I knew it, heading down towards the ocean. I remember just as I hit the water, I thought to myself, I'm going to drown. I can't breathe underwater. I remembered then that I had just finished reading a book about a lady who astral travels underneath the sea and how she has no trouble breathing. So that went through my mind. I thought, okay, that lady did it. I'll be right. And so once I settled into it, I just enjoyed my octopus's garden, spent some time under there talking to the whales and the dolphins and everything else, and it was just the most beautiful thing. Before I knew it, I was being catapulted back up into the universe. I was taken to a cottage, and I was greeted by a man who looked like Abraham Lincoln, and he said he was my gatekeeper. I asked him what I was doing there, and he said he had a surprise for me. I was escorted into a little room, and the gatekeeper left me, and he said, "Your surprise is in the next room." I opened the door of the next room, and in that room was, all I can describe it, is an orb of golden light. This huge orb of golden light. And from that orb came Bruce's voice. And it was within that orb of light. And my spirit, that was looked like it was in the human form, melded in that orb of light with him. And I had 20 minutes there because when I came back I saw on the clock I was gone for 20 minutes. But I have never and will never, until the time comes for me to go back home, experience that love, that pure, pure love ever again on earth. It was just out of this world. It was just all-encompassing. It was, what you were saying before about that purity of when you had your near-death experiences, I suppose this is the only thing that I could compare it with, is the feeling that I had while I was emerged with him in that orb of golden light. It actually brings tears to my eyes even just thinking about it.
Oh, I'm going through the same thing, to be honest. I had such a profound feeling that when you were when the gatekeeper said, "I've got a surprise for you," I thought, "It's the boy, it's Bruce."
Yes.
And what's so special, when you saw him and experienced him in this form of an orb, that is exactly the form that I took on, or I should say my natural form when I leave this physical body. Now, a lot of NDEs will still have an experience of a humanoid type of body, and again, it depends on what dimension that one traverses to, etc., during a near-death episode. But I, even in the NDE that's described on my website, towardthelight.org, and I died of colon cancer, amongst other things, I took on the form of, I describe it as a bubble, a luminous bubble. Very light and very free and so full of love, all within me and without me, all around. And it was just absolutely tremendous. And what you're describing is very, very natural. Once again, I think this is really the true form that that beings take on once they leave the physical body. And I've even done drawings of this. They can look sort of like a luminous jellyfish or like an inverted water drop or just an orb, completely round or spherical. There's such a sweetness about all of that. And the other point I wanted to make with this too, how lovely that you could have this experience without being on the verge of physical death. You just popped out of body, and really basically it is the same thing. You just leave the body and you can have these tremendous experiences that are absolutely real. And
well, I asked him... Sorry, Juliet. I remember asking after it happened, I said, "How did that happen?" Because I had never experienced the third eye opening and the spirit leaving the third eye. I was very aware of what was happening. I was very aware of my third eye closing up after I came back into my body.
Mm.
And I said to him, "How did that happen?" And he said, "God knew how unhappy we were without each other. He said, this was the gift that was given to us in order for us to get on with our lives." And I said, "But, you know, how would my third eye..." He said, "Jen," he said, "I willed you here through my love for you." But what amazed me was, when he was alive, he had the most incredible voice. And I used to call him, when he was alive, the voice from heaven.
Uh-huh.
And so when I met the orb, when I melded into that orb, I was very surprised to hear his voice was the same voice he had on earth, that voice from heaven. And I remember saying to him, because I begged, "Please don't send me back, please." I begged him, and I was crying, and, "Please, why can't I stay here with you?" And he said, "Jen, you have so much work to do back on earth." And I said, "But I can do it here with you. Why can't I stay here with you in heaven?" And in a very quiet voice, he said, "You have a new love coming." And I said, "But I don't want anybody else. I just love you." And he said, "No, Jen, this is meant to be. You are meant to be with this man on earth." And I remember asking him afterwards, I said, "Well, if you were in that golden orb, how do you recognize another spirit?" And he said, "Jen, we recognize each other by colored vibration."
Yes, yes, yes. Perfect.
You would know what I'm saying because...
Oh, yes.
And he said, "So each one of us, each spirit or each soul, has its own color vibration. So we recognize each other by their color vibration."
Yes. Oh, that's excellent. And another thing that came to me about all of this, because this happened right when you had been concerned about your daughter. And, you know, I'm a mum too, and I get that the part of the message from this experience is for you to trust in this communion, to trust in this telepathy, to trust in your ability to see with your third eye, because, and I've mentioned this a number of times, and in fact, next month, on 6 September, I am going to be giving a workshop on telepathy and the nature of consciousness at the Edgar Cayce ARE Center here in Virginia Beach. This is so interesting because during the 9/11, as they call it, in 2001, 11 September, my daughter was in Manhattan, in New York City, when that event occurred, when that tragedy occurred. And I was in Nashville, Tennessee, USA, and so there was no way for me to be able to reach her or for her to reach me in conventional terms. And as a mum, I was going nuts trying to figure out, oh my God, is my daughter all right? Where is she? What's happened to her and all of that? And then I telepathically heard her voice clear as day, just like her own voice, saying, Mom, I am okay. And I had to trust that, otherwise I would have been an hysterical mom. And it turned out to be absolutely accurate. I mean, she's absolutely fine. But I feel, you know, as moms, of course, we are going to be concerned about our children, even when they're grown up, if they're away and then something seems odd or different. And so I think that these experiences are really telling us you must trust this. You must trust in the telepathy. You must trust in your own clairvoyant abilities, because this is natural, this is real, this is reliable, and it is accurate. And that love that you have, that you share with your beloved, can never ever be broken. And I think also what he was letting you know is that even as you share with somebody else on this plane, that cannot take away from the unconditional love that is shared with you and your beloved. Because love is inclusive, it's not exclusive. So he's still loving you and you're still loving him. He's still working with you. He's still looking after you. I would venture to say, indeed, he is a spirit guide, and he opted to be a spirit guide. Does that resonate with you when I say that?
Absolutely. And do you know, there's no such thing as a coincidence, as we all know. I call it God. This is God's way of being anonymous. But it's just so wonderful, because where I was guided to write messages of love was up in the hinterland on the Sunshine Coast, which is the most divine. It's heaven on earth, you know. And we've got many heaven on earth places in the world, but it was just beautiful. And I remember signing after a really stressful time of finding this place on 5 acres. I remember the lady said, do you think you could write your book here? And I said, oh, can I write my book here? You know, it was just divine place. And we went down to sign the contract for the property that I was renting. And when I went to sign it, I looked at the name on the lease. And I said, well, how come you've got this name on the lease? And she said, that is the owner of the property. And it was the same name as Bruce's.
Wow.
And I said, that can't be right. That's the name of the man I'm going to write our love story about. And I just looked at her and I just said, oh, well, as if I would doubt, you know, hello. and then Bruce said, I will stay with you until you find your new man, your new love. I will be with you till you find your new love. I will not leave you. And I was moving up to Cairns on the Barrier Reef. I had a job up there doing readings. I was still doing readings at the time. And I was all packed up, ready to go. And my girlfriend, who I was moving up with, said, come down and have a coffee down on the beach, and let's have our farewell coffee together and before we leave. So I said, oh, no, I'm packing. I can't go. Anyway, down I went. To cut a long story short, I started to channel Michael the Archangel while we were sitting there. And Michael said, congratulations, you have a new love coming. Go and have a glass of champagne to celebrate. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, here we go, you know. They keep saying it, but of course, you know. So we'll just humour Michael the Archangel as if, you know. But anyway, so we decided to go and have a glass of bubbles to celebrate. And we ended up going to an Irish bar. And there was this man in the Irish bar sitting at the bar, and he asked, could he meet me? Unbeknownst to me, a male voice said to him while he was sitting there, do not let that lady go to Cairns, you must meet her. And so he had never experienced anything like this before. He came over, he met me, I said, what do you do? At that point I was a full-on medium. I was bringing through all his Greek relatives, who's this, this, this and this, and he was freaking out saying, oh my God, what do you do? Oh, I talk to dead people. I've just finished writing a book. What's it about? This is what it's about. He said, I'm a publisher. Can I publish your book for you?
Wow.
I never had to go and look for a publisher. I have never had to look for anything. 10 months later, we were married.
Wow.
And so Chris then opened up. It was like I handed him the key. He then opened up psychically. He is totally in tune with Bruce. It's like they're sometimes the one person. I get a bit confused.
Yes, yes.
It's spooky. It's like, you know, that song, Torn Between Two Lovers. And it's really got to the point where I actually had to say to Bruce, I'm sorry, because Chris would say, oh, do you mind if Bruce has this dance with you? And so I would feel Bruce go into Chris's body, and Chris would adjust his body to accommodate Bruce to dance with me. And so in the end, I had to say, look, I can't do this anymore. I don't know who I'm with. I'm getting confused. I'm trying to love you, Chris, as an earthly being. Having an earthly existence. But you're still connecting me to this, you know, heavenly love. And so I need to actually let go of that heavenly love as I experienced it on earth and come back to my earthly and life and love you as you are. And so I had, like, you know, it was very confusing for me for a long time, thinking, well, who have I got? Have I got Bruce or have I got Chris? Because Bruce, he manifested himself in the physical so many times before Chris came into my life, that I would get confused because I wouldn't know who was who, and if this man who came up to me out of the blue was Bruce or whether he was a human, a person. But it wasn't. It was always Bruce who would then use a man's body in order to connect with me.
Yes, I understand that, and you know what you're describing is so similar to experiences that I've had, likewise, you know, with my late husband and then a very, very dear, dear, dear being back in England. And yet, you know, they're both very unique and individual, and yet there's a place where they merge as well. And again, I would venture to say that we're all a part of the same soul cluster. And then again, my point that love is inclusive, it's not exclusive. And so they're loving each other, loving you, Bruce and Chris are. And I would venture to say that Chris was feeling very honored to be able to work as a messenger on Bruce's behalf simultaneously as sharing his own love for you, because he'd have to love you very deeply, I do believe, in order to in such a pure way be a conduit for Bruce's love and channeling that to you. This is very, very special. I can't tell you how excited I am to be having this conversation right now, because this is so much the story of my life as well. This is quite amazing. And It's very, very powerful. Exceptionally powerful. So how is all of this doing for you now? Are you able to overcome some of these naysayers and people who are challenging you? And I venture to say that every experience you have does empower you more and give you more strength to deal with these people who are still operating through fear and ignorance. What would be your comment about that?
Since messages came out, 2001,
wow.
When the book came out, my family basically disowned me.
Wow.
My family that I loved so, so much. I've always been a family type of girl. I've always tried my hardest to fit into an Earth family that I never fitted into. And my father and mother were very narrow-minded, Catholic-thinking people. When the book came out, they just were very disapproving and very disappointed in me as a daughter. My son was very upset. My daughter, she was fine with the whole thing. I never, ever hid anything. Everything was always very open. So when that happened, and I realized that the people I loved the most disapproved of me, that gave me the strength to overcome criticism from people who weren't closest to me. So my family gave me the greatest gift that anyone could ever give a person, and that is for me to stay true to myself.
Yes.
No matter what. Yes. I realized that no matter what I did in this life, I would never have their approval. So I said to myself, okay, you've tried to bend like the willow tree to please everybody. And I realized that by trying to bend like the willow tree, I was breaking inside because I was becoming somebody that wasn't me.
Yes.
And when I went up to the Sunshine Coast all by myself, packed my little car from Victoria, went all the way to Queensland, was on a property all by myself, I had 3 years totally alone to come home to who Jen Irishu is. And I'm speaking Jen Irishu as in my spiritual being. I came home to me, the true me. And it was like I built this guard around myself that said, okay, you're there. It was like a glass, I encased myself in a glass cage, and I said, yes, I see you, I hear you, but you can't touch me anymore with your cruel words, with your with the fact that you don't want to understand me. You can't touch my heart anymore. It doesn't mean I've closed off my heart, and it doesn't mean some of those arrows don't penetrate every now and again. I remember in messages I wrote this metaphor. I said, why have I made myself a dartboard in order for everybody to aim their darts and hit my bullseye, which is my heart? Why have I allowed myself to be that dartboard? And I said in messages, have I done it? Have I allowed myself to carry those darts, to have them penetrate me? Do I do it because it makes me feel loved and important? Does it make me feel like people care, even though they throw a dart at me? Is having a dart thrown better than nothing? And I wrote in messages, how sad am I?
Wow.
And I realized by writing those words, by writing everything I wrote in that book in black and white, and it was a hard book to write, Juliet. I vomited. I would vomit in a bucket as I was writing my story.
Yeah.
And as I saw it in black and white on the computer in front of me, and as the emotions and the feelings were coming up in that, and it's not just about Bruce, it's about my life. It's about everything that happened in my life. And I remember I was on doing a television program in New Zealand, and the interviewer said to me, why do you think you experienced so much in your life? I can't believe one person could have gone through so much. And I said, as a woman, I have been fortunate enough to have experienced everything a woman could experience in order to become the person I am today, the counselor I am today, the guest speaker I am today. It's given me the compassion in order to say to someone, I may not necessarily understand your pain. I may not have experienced your pain, but I do know what it is to hurt. I do know what it is to experience loss. And I do know what it is to gain back your self-respect and your self-esteem. So I guess that's, in a nutshell, how I've grown.
That's an amazing testimony, and it's so true too that as we, and likewise I've endured unspeakable trauma in my life and changes, and you know, from experiencing the most severe hatred aimed at me towards the greatest love imaginable. And here I sit feeling such gratitude and such deep compassion, and it's through the gifts of these experiences that enable us to really understand so deeply, to have deep empathy for what people go through, and to know again the unconditional love that is the prevailing force, and that ultimately is going to purge all of this darkness again that comes from fear away. And what a wonderful testimony of the power of love, and the fact that we are again interdimensional beings who are experiencing an expression on the physical plane at this time, but not just on the physical plane, we are simultaneously on other dimensions as well. Really quickly, we've only got just a few more minutes. Would you like to share with our listeners what your name means? I think it's very, very beautiful, and I know, of course, you've got it on your bio and on your website. Tell us about your name, Jen.
Well, I remember one day I was with a girlfriend, and she said, oh, my spiritual name is so-and-so, and I was thinking to myself, oh, that's nice, you know, what's a spiritual name and why do you need it? And I was just doodling on a piece of paper, and I wrote down Irishu, I-R-I-S-H-U, and a symbol. And I thought, what on earth is that? And I just went within, and I said, what's this you've just given me, and how do you say it? And so they divided it up, I, and then R-I-S-H, and then U. And I said, oh, Irishu, is that a Japanese name? And they said, no, Commander, they call me Commander Jen Irishu, that is your real name. And I said, Commander Jen Irishu, what are you talking about? And they said, it is too soon for you to know, but you will know why you have this name. And then I remember I was at a fair, a market, and I was, when messages first came out, I would go around from markets to markets. You know, you had those little places up here, down here, where you sit there and they have all these gorgeous things they sell, and like a craft market, but it's bigger and better than that. And I remember I was sitting there doing book signings for Messages of Love. And this man came out of the blue and he said to me, do you know what your name means? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, I have been sent by God to tell you. And I just got goosebumps all over me, and I thought, oh my goodness. And he said, your name means Mother of All. And I said, oh no, that's not right. And I'll call him the being, said, you may not accept it, but it is the truth. And disappeared. And so I sat with it. I never told anybody. I just said, okay, that's my name, but I'll just keep very quiet with it. And I thought, no, I can't use that name. I don't feel worthy enough to use that name. So I got the dictionary and I looked up. I thought, right, I know Hugh, H-U means God, so I'll look up the meaning of iris. And I saw it was a Greek word that meant rainbow or rainbow bridge. And I put the two together, rainbow bridge to God, and I thought, yep, that suits me. I'm going to stay with that. So I just say when anybody says, what does your name mean? I just say rainbow bridge to God.
That's absolutely beautiful. And that's so fitting too. And you're being a Virgo, a very nurturing mother as well. So don't ever sell yourself short, my dear. This is amazing. Now we've just got 1 minute. Let's share with the listeners what your website is.
My website is a collection of wonderful things. But if I can just, it's about my books and my charities and everything. But very, very briefly, after a dream 2 months ago, I was guided to start an e-magazine called Spirit Whispers from the Heart. And it has taken on a life of its own. It has just absolutely grown. It's taking up all my time. My husband says he's a computer widower now. And what I'm doing is collecting people's stories, inspirational stories from all over the world, and putting them together each month in this e-magazine. It is now, God came to me just after I started, and he said, I have put wings on this magazine. And I said, oh, really? And he said, this is meant to be. It is my gift to the world through you. And so what I would like to say, if anyone has a beautiful story like you, like me, and look, we all have one, we all have a story in us, that they would like to email me through my webpage, I would just be honoured to share their story in my e-magazine. It comes out each month on my webpage. So it's there. I've got children also sharing their stories. I've got the Rainbow Kids Corner and two wonderful, wonderful open, spiritually open children who are answering questions for other children and sharing their life as rainbow children on this earth at this time. And it's just a beautiful gathering of love in this magazine. So I put it out there. Anyone who would like to send me something on my email address that they can get to, through my website, they are welcome, welcome, welcome. So thank you, Juliet. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity of being with you today and sharing with you and your listeners. And sometimes I get so frustrated. I have so much inside of me, so much passion, so many things that I just want to be able to speak about and to be able to share and to be able to, be with people who are just like we are, and just to spread that love. And, you know, when you're sometimes locked in a cocoon, that butterfly in you is just screaming to escape and spread their wings. And I thank you so much for giving this butterfly a chance on this day to fly.
Well, bless you, love. It's been such an honor having you, too. We've been speaking to Jen Arishu, and that website is jen-irishu.com. So you can find Jen at jen-arishu.com. Thank you so much, Jen, for being with us. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. We will speak to you next week on another transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. Blessings and light to all of you. And thank you once again for joining us on Toward the Light.